Now this frame, all these parts here are all baby bees waiting to come out. This part here, you can see the shiny stuff in the bottom?
Yeah.
That's honey. But it's not finished yet. When it's finished, they cap it like that. If you break it open, there it is. If you put your finger in there and taste it, you can taste it if you want.
I'm scared of people seeing me for that.
No.
Oh, they won't. No. Just put your finger right there and taste it. Yeah, like that.
There's a bee eating it right now.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Ask me a question. Ask me one.
Okay, how about bee dancing?
What's that about?
Well, the bees use the sun as a way of telling which way they're going. So if the bee points towards the sun, then they go towards the sun for the flowers. If the bee points to the left of the sun, then it'll go to the left for the flowers. And if the bee points to the right of the sun, then the bees will go right for the flowers.
The bee is telling the other bees, but through that dance, what's it telling them?
Where to go for flowers. The bees use the shape of an octagon to make their honeycomb. Because if they were circled, then the hive wouldn't be even. Some parts would be very, very thin, some would be very thick, and they would just waste away. This is how bees make honey. Well, they gather nectar from the flowers, and they also bring pollen. And they carry them back to the hive.
In their pollen baskets.
And they put the pollen in the pollen baskets and the honey in special kind of belly. And they suck up the honey through their proboscises. And then they bring it back to the hive and they put it in the combs. It's nectar when it's first taken out of the flower. And then they put the pollen in its own combs. At night they don't sleep. And instead they fan it with their wings and stir it and fan it with their wings. And they also add some chemicals from their body in. So honey's completely natural unless it's pasteurized.
This is icing sugar. We're going to use 16 spoons. 2.
What's that for?
You'll see in a little while. This is a precautionary measure. The two diseases, one is called American foul brood, and the other is called Nosema. American foul brood affects the baby bees as they're forming, because it's very contagious to other bees. This is the medicine we use. It's a tetracycline. I'm going to get two of those.
Does the bees eat that?
No, they hate it. You put it in the hive and they throw it all out the hive, but in carrying it out, they get it all over themselves, and that's how they get the medication. They don't like it, but just walking through it is enough for them to get this medication. You do it after the honey's finished. You don't want any of this stuff that doesn't get into the honey. There's very strict rules on what you can put in honey and how you've got to look after them. So at the end of the year, when all the honey's off, then you can medicate them and get them ready for winter. Are you looking for some honey?
Yeah.
$7 a jar, half a litre.
Actually some beeswax as well.
Beeswax?
Yeah.
How much beeswax do you want?
I don't know, I turned bowls and I thought I'd try using it to finish
them.
The bowls
off. Yeah, I used to do that when I was at school.
Oh really?
You put it in a rag and push it against the wood and the rag would heat up with the friction and it would come through the rag.
Oh, okay.
But you can probably just run it on as a stick.
What's that?
Beeswax.
Yeah. That's what it's like. There's beeswax in there. That's what it's like after it's been refined.
Uh-huh.
I do it twice. One more time like that. Because it's got all impurities in it. I put it through the sun if it's a sunny day.
Oh, and it filters it.
And, well, the stuff stays behind on the board and the wax drips out like that.
Oh, Okay, well, I'll take a jar of honey and I'll take one of these.
Well, that's about $5, isn't it?
Okay.
It makes them calm?
Yeah. They think their little house is on fire, so the first thing they do is start picking up honey. In doing that, you calm them down.
What's that?
Stuff I just used to burn. In fact, it's the steps off Daikon sumac. Okay, what's your toes? Keep this going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got to keep squeezing it like that, otherwise it'll go out. But watch this part, because that's hot.
Don't touch that part.
I don't
want
to do it.
It's okay.
I don't
want to
get burnt.
No, you won't get burnt.
Okay, right, yeah. Thought you might want to.
Whoa! Look at that.
I'm going to give them a bit of smug, just to calm them down. You can see they go away. They don't really like it. They go inside the hive.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
I'll show you what a frame of bees looks like. You can get one out. Now this frame, all these parts here are all baby bees waiting to come out. This part here, you can see the shiny stuff in the bottom?
Yeah.
That's honey. But it's not finished yet. When it's finished, they cap it like that. If you break it open, there it is. If you put your finger in there and taste it, you can taste it if you want.
I'm scared of people sting me for that.
No.
Oh, they won't. No. Just put your finger right there and taste it. Yeah, like that.
There's a bee eating it right now.
you don't want to compete with the bee, right?
These cells here are the male bees. These are going to be all females. All these bees you see here are all female bees.
Won't a bee eat from that honeycomb?
You see the different colour in here, down in the bottom? That's pollen. They put in a store of that for the winter.
I heard about them storing pollen for Magic School Bus. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to get a taste of honey and I can't.
There you go. Right there.
There you go. No bees there.
Quick.
Tasty.
Sweet.
It's delicious.
Want to try, Matt?
Put this back without squishing too many.
Yeah.
So how much honey would you get out of all these nine?
Well, the last extraction we did, we got 120 litres, and that's the third one this year. The queen controls the whole hive, and she controls them with chemicals, pheromones. They come back to this hive because that's the hive they came from. That's the queen is making them do that. She has almost total control over the whole hive. She decides whether a bee being born is going to be a male bee or a female bee. She lays a fertilised egg, it becomes a female worker. She lays a sterile egg, becomes a male. She continually lays all the time, that's all she does.
I like that too. There's an earwig and an ant crawling
earwigs,
around.
Earwigs, ants.
Maybe they're crawling around there to get the honey.
One of the chemicals we use to help the bees is formic acid. Ants squirt formic acid as part of their defences. Bees have evolved with ants stealing their honey for thousands of years. So they can stand quite high concentrations of formic acid. So one of the mites we have that lives in the trachea of a bee. Do you know what a trachea is?
No.
That's the tube that you breathe down when you're breathing and you take a breath. There's a little mite that lives in there, and to kill those we use formic acid because the bees can stand it and the mites can't.
You have to try to get out of their hive when they do that.
So now, see, how many bees live in a hive?
Oh no, sometimes up to 60,000.
Quit robbing those bees!
Come down and take a look. Why not?
What's the life cycle of a bee? Like, how long does it live?
It depends a lot on the weather. A male one, they don't live very long, maybe 4 weeks. Females live a little longer. First 2 or 3 weeks they spend in the hive doing repairs, they have a little gland on their back that secretes wax. Well, that atrophies after about 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they can't make wax anymore, so they have to go out and do foraging then. But for the first 3 weeks, they're in there looking after all the other bees and doing repairs, feeding bees, feeding the babies.
What would their range be? How far would these go to collect it?
Well, if there's food around, they'll obviously take the shortest cut they can, but they will go if there's no food, up to about 6 miles.
6 miles.
Can a second queen then be born in this?
Yes, they can. When the hive swarms, the first queen in there, she lays queen cells, which look like peanuts. Right. They're about as big as a peanut. The first queen out to hatch goes around all the others and stings them all to death, right through the wax. And she'll take then half the hive with her. That's how they reproduce in the wild.
Radio Free School on CFMU.
This is what a frame looks like before the bees have built up the comb. I make the frames up and I put this piece of wax, this sheet of wax in here. And you can see now they've just started to build up comb in here. It's just started to stick up a little bit. The wax has the little octagon indentations in there to start them off so that they know where I want them to build. Otherwise they're going to build all over the place. It's the most economical and it's the most practical way to do it. If it was a circle, the sides all wouldn't be the same thickness. There would be thick parts and thin parts and it would waste the wax. So the bees have to use the most economical way of doing it. It takes about 5 pounds of honey for a bee to generate a pound of wax. So obviously they don't want to use more than they have to. They can get away with less, and that an octagon is the best way of doing it. The stuff you see on the outside here, this is propolis, and it's made from tree sap. They go around especially pines and where sapsuckers have been in the maples, and they'll bring that back, and it's a bit like almost tar. They glue everything together with it. If there's any gaps in the hive and drafts are coming through, they plug it up with that stuff. And it keeps them snug in the winter, but it sometimes makes the frames hard to get out.
I think the smoke's running out.
Oh, lots of smoke in there yet.
When bees sting, they die.
They do.
They do.
They're fairly reluctant to sting. When they're certainly foraging in your garden,
whoa,
on the flowers,
cool.
They won't sting. Grab hold of it in your fist, obviously they will. But they usually go for your eyes too, which is why you wear that veil. They're used to being attacked by furry animals. And furry animals, they can't get through the fur. The only places they can get them is their noses and eyes.
So there are different types of bees within each hive. Like
there's only males and workers and the queen.
Males, workers. So the workers are the ones that we see probably darting around then?
Yep. If I can find a male, I'll show you one. They're much bigger.
Okay.
They have no mouth. They can't feed themselves. They have to be fed by the workers. Everything is done for them. Their only job is to reproduce with the queen. They don't do anything else. They can go into any hive, whereas a worker can only go in the hive that it came out of. Males are welcome anywhere.
So do they mate frequently, or
one time?
Just one time.
It got white.
The female will mate with about 14 males at that one time,
right.
And that's it.
After
that, she can't fly anymore. She gets so fat, she doesn't fly.
Right.
Comes back to the hive. The male dies. Short life, but a merry one. They're not natural to North America at all. They were brought here by immigrants. In fact, the Indians called them the white man's fly. They didn't like them at all. But without them, there'd be a lot of things you wouldn't be able to eat. They're used to pollinate the crops we take for granted now.
What's that sort of thing right there? Stand it. It's still right there. You put it there.
This thing?
Yeah.
This is a strip of, dare I say, insecticide.
It's insecticide.
For one of the mites that we have to deal with. That's it there, and it just sits in here. Doesn't harm the bees. The mites that it's aiming to kill came from Asia, and they came from an Asian bee that's learned to cope with them. When our bees make baby bees, the top of the wax where the bee egg is capped over, so it's completely sealed, almost like a chrysalis, and the mite gets in there. And when the baby bee is growing, the mite's feeding on it, and it deforms their wings, and you can see them wandering around sometimes with no wings. The Asian bee that this came from, they don't cap their brood, and they keep wandering around all the time, and if they see one of those mites, they grab it and toss it out. Well, these bees never had to evolve with it, but until they can breed a bee that will survive with these mites, really not very much else you can do. Otherwise you're going to lose all your hives.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
The bee goes out to the flower and it has a special little stomach called the honey stomach, and it brings back nectar, which if you taste it tastes like water. It doesn't taste like anything very much. And at night, bees never go to sleep. They stay awake all the time. They stand over the nectar, which they put in the combs, and they fan it with their wings, evaporate the water out of it, and it gradually gets thicker and thicker until it becomes honey. They also add to it trace elements, lots of different things that the bees provide. They provide an antibiotic, right, that they produce themselves, that goes right in the honey. Honey never goes off. A lot of research now is done for burn victims. They put honey on wounds. There's lots of old wives' tales about honey being good for cuts. Now they're finally sort of getting into this, decided that it is actually good for burns. So they're doing quite a lot of research on honey as a honey impregnated bandage for burns.
Is honey good for you?
Yes, it is good for you.
I fat frog.
Now this last hive, you notice I missed because this one is a lot more aggressive than all the other ones. So you're going to stand back and I'm going to put my hat on. When a queen mates, like I say, she can mate with up to 14 males. She stores the sperm from those 14 males inside her. And as one lot gets used up, she comes up with another lot. Well, that means they've all got different fathers. As one lot of sperm gets used up, now they've become a different father takes over the hive. Mm-hmm. And they can change colour even. And the whole complexion of the hive can change too. They can get more aggressive just because of that change. And a few months past that, when that sperm's used up, then there's a good chance that they won't be so aggressive. Or they might be worse, who can tell.
Okay, I'm going to get back. Some bees like certain kinds of flowers, right? What kind of flowers do they like?
Well, they'll take anything they can get. Right now, this is the end of the season. If you look about, you can see the goldenrod's just coming into flower now. Right. The yellow flowers that you see all over the place.
Oh, and you'll goldenrod, see, that's what it was called back there in the right. Schoolist they got.
And you'll also see blue flowers. But, some in the grass, these things here.
Chicory?
Yeah, that's chicory, but there's an aster as well that you'll see on the side of the road. Oh, they go for that.
Then after that, there's not very much left for them.
So do they hibernate in the winter?
No, what do? They try and maintain 80 degrees in the hive, about. Vibrate themselves all the time, continually vibrate to keep warm. And they use the honey up to supply the energy to do this. I wrap them with a black tar paper, so on any form of a sunny day that you might get, that's enough to warm up the inside of the hive so they can move around in there. If they can't move around, if it's cold enough long enough, they stay in a clump in the middle of the hive. And even though it's full of honey, they can still starve to death because they don't move around enough to get to fresh honey supplies. It's got to be warm enough for them to move.
Hey, I want to buy some bags to make candles. I want to do a candle job.
Well, that's about it. You've seen it all.
my song. Oh, to rock me to my song. Ooh, rock me to my song. Oh, rock me to my song. Oh. Sweet old honeybee, baby, been sweet on me.
Listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
First of all, he said to himself, that buzzing noise means something. You don't get a buzzing noise like that, just buzzing and buzzing, without its meaning something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise, and the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee. Then he thought another long time and said, and the only reason for being a bee that I know of is making honey. And then he got up and said, and the only reason for making honey is so as I can eat it. So he began to climb the tree. He climbed and he climbed and he climbed, and as he climbed, he sang a little song to himself. It went like this. Isn't it funny how a bear likes honey? Buzz, buzz, buzz. I wonder why he does. Then he climbed a little further, and a little further, and then just a little further. By that time, he had thought of another song. It's a very funny thought that if bears were bees, they'd build their nests at the bottom of trees. And that being so, if the bees were bears, we shouldn't have to climb up all these stairs. He was nearly there now, and if he just stood on that branch... Crack! Oh, help, said Pooh as he dropped 10 feet on the branch below him. If only I hadn't, he said as he bounced 20 feet onto the next branch. You see, what I meant to do, he explained as he turned head over heels and crashed onto another branch 30 feet below. What I meant to do... Oh, of course it was rather... He admitted as he slithered very quickly through the next 6 branches. It all comes, I suppose, he decided as he had said goodbye to the last branch, spun round 3 times and flew gracefully into a gorse bush. It all comes of liking honey so much. Oh, help!
Bristle. I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to CFMU 93.3.
chocolate chip honey muffins. What kind of ingredients do you need in it?
Chocolate chip honey and egg and then buttermilk and then honey. Lots of honey and then oil. And then you need oil and then you need flour next and then chocolate chips. Oops. And then oats. Mix it around and then put some baking powder and then you put chocolate chips in it and then you eat some first and then you put them in the oven and watch it and then when it's ready and take it out and eat. Yum.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.